Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the master, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fleeing. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all them that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his hands. I want to preach this morning on the subject of salvation. The subject of salvation. The question was asked here, what must I do to be saved? I believe this thought is brought forth many times by people that are both sincere and people that are insincere. Now, salvation is the greatest need that any person will ever have. There are people that are saved by the grace of God. But there are also people that are not saved. There are some that have a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart knowledge. Now, you can have a head knowledge of salvation. You can know all the facts. And yet, never truly be saved. You can die and spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Paul, when he spoke to the church at Rome, said in the 10th chapter, verse 8 down through 17, he says, But what saith thee? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, many people have a head knowledge of salvation. They have a head knowledge of Christ. They have a head knowledge of the word of God. But it takes more than just a head knowledge to be saved. It takes a heart knowledge, which only God can give, and that the Holy Spirit enables a person to have. But then there are some people that don't have a head knowledge. And you know, we sometimes talk about, well, there's people that have a head knowledge, and I say, but there are some people that don't even have a head knowledge of Christ. They don't even have a head knowledge of the Word of God. And there are those, and many of these, they resort to other methods, trying to substitute something for salvation. One of the best and the very beginning illustrations of this was, you remember that when Adam had fallen in sin, immediately Adam tried to provide himself with a fig leaf religion. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it says that he took the leaves of the trees and there made clothes to cover themselves. And of course, I call that a fig leaf religion. We read right on, and Adam and Eve's son Cain tried to provide a salvation for himself through the works of his hands, or what he would do, rather than what God is saying and God's way. So there are some that have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge, and there are some that don't even have a head knowledge of the Word of God. And these are not saved. So people then, to and fro upon this earth, are trying various and many things this morning. There, if you were all over this United States and numbered, there would be a great multitude of people that would be in so-called churches that don't know anything about the Lord, don't know anything about God's salvation in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have substituted something, a method or something they've substituted that they think will be sufficient for their salvation. Now, let us consider the negative, what salvation is not. There are three things, basically, that I want us to consider what salvation is not. First of all, it is not works. Works is not salvation. There are people that believe if they will help the sick, that that will be their salvation. Now, there's nothing wrong with helping the sick, but that won't save you. There are people that believe if they help the poor, that that will be their salvation. Nothing wrong with helping the poor, but that is not salvation. There are people that believe with helping the handicapped or the disabled that that will give them merit with God and will be their salvation. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but what we must understand is that is not salvation. When Paul wrote to Titus, he said in Titus chapter 3, and there in verse 15 of Titus, listen to what he said in this passage of Scripture, and he says, makes it very clear, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And he's talking about regeneration or being saved. He says, makes this clear, not by works of righteousness which we have done. So salvation is not by works. That's what he's saying. He says, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we see that this verse of Scripture tells us very plainly that works is not salvation, and salvation is not works. But there's a multitude of people today that believe by what they are doing, which many times is a good deed and something good that they are doing, but they feel like that that will merit for them salvation. But it is not. Now, if you'll go back to the book of Romans chapter 4, and I believe the Apostle Paul makes it very clear for us. And here when he says in verse 1 down through verse 5, and he uses some Old Testament men in illustration, and he says in verse 1 of Romans 4, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" And look at this. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Now, and people many times that believe that they can substitute works for salvation, you'll hear about it. I mean, you'll know about it because they'll tell you. I mean, they'll tell you that they've done this or that they've done that. And so, we said here, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God." So he said, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So what Paul is saying, he's saying here, to him that worketh not, he's saying, salvation is not by works. Now think this morning of the multitude of people that are even attending church this morning, a church somewhere, and they are basing their salvation upon works. Brother or sister, the salvation of God and of the Bible is not attained by works. Now, apart from God, the natural man will always resort to works. He'll do it every time apart from God. It is not doing the best you can. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, I'm doing the best I can"? I tell you, when a person tells me that, when I'm talking to them about salvation, they tell me that, I know immediately what they're trusting. They're not trusting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trusting the best they can do. And what will happen to that person is, unless God works upon them, they'll die in their sins. And they'll spend an eternity in an devil's hell. I've heard people say this. Surely. Now listen to me. I've heard people say this. "Surely, if anybody goes to heaven, they're gone." Well, now, I can't say that about anybody. Because I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner. And you cannot form your opinions by what people do. Because salvation is not based upon what people do. Salvation is not based upon work. What are they looking at? They're looking at what that person has done. Well, I've known good moral men that put some professing Christians to shame. That never named the name of Christ. And never professed to know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And never professed to know anything about the church. So the whole thing comes down to this, that salvation, it is not works. And works is not salvation. The Word of God makes this very clear and very plain. But there's a multitude of people today, that's what they're trusting. And that's what they're depending on. They're saying, "I'm doing the best I can, and I'm trying to get to heaven. And you know what, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this." Well, you've heard all that. Okay, the second thing, from the negative standpoint, what salvation is not, it is not baptism. There are multitudes of people today that are trusting their so-called baptism. Even what they have is not baptism. They call it baptism. But you know it's not baptism, and I know it's not baptism, because it's not according to the Word of God, but that's what they're trusting. And they believe that it is their baptism that washes away their sins and puts them in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the host of people today. Today, you find very few people outside of Baptists that believe that you're saved by grace and that you're saved. And if you do, it's an exception. Some Baptist is tinkered with. I mean, God is tinkered with them, but the Word of God, because if the majority of Christians today and the majority of religions today, it all hinges back to what they believe is salvation is that they've been baptized. The thing wholeheartedly the matter is, they don't even have baptism, you know, let alone salvation. Now, some are sprinkled as infants, and others are sprinkled as adults, and they believe that is their baptism. Some have been immersed for the purpose of washing away their sins. We know that their sins have not been washed away. Now, some have made false professions, yet they are trusting their baptism to get them to heaven. I'll tell you, it's just like, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. When old John, I thought about this, and look what he said there in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 down through 8. John preached what I believe, and he said, in those days, in Matthew 3, 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, notice, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, notice what he's going to say, come to his baptism, and he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But look what he tells them. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. I tell you, now this is a serious thing. Converts that say they're converts need to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. They need to do that. We have too many part-time church members now. You take somebody that makes a profession of faith and you got to drag them to the baptistry, you better leave them right where they are, is what you better do to church. We have too many part-time church members now. We don't need no more. And we need to recognize that, and we ought to see that. I tell you, I believe that a person is saved by the grace of God when God saves them. And even before they're baptized, I believe they'll attend the services of a church. And I believe they'll be faithful to it. And if they're not, you better not baptize them as a church. I tell you, I this thing of part-time church members, we have too many of them now. So we see, this is from the negative. Now, secondly, let's consider the positive. What is salvation? Well, first of all, as we read in our text, which we have here in Acts chapter 16 and in verse 31 of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we find that salvation is believing. You remember what he said here in the 16th chapter? And here in verse 31, he said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, believing involves two graces. And the two graces that are involved in believing is repentance and faith. You remember when Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. You remember when Paul said to the church at Ephesus, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that out of yourselves it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we see that salvation considered positively is, it is believing. It is two graces that God brings, repentance and faith to a person, and enables them to repent of their sins and to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Do you remember what Jesus said in the third chapter of the book of John? And there in two familiar scriptures, John 3:16 and then in John 3:36, listen to what he said in this passage of scripture. He said here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, notice, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's salvation. Believing is salvation. That is the believing that the Bible speaks of. Look in verse 36. It says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. When Paul, or the writer here And I think it was Luke, of course, the writer of the book of Acts, but we find that this was at the church at Corinth, or Antioch, I mean, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. And it says this. It says, when the Gentiles heard this, that is, the preaching of the word here, and he said, by the Apostle Paul, he said, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, believing always follows hearing the word. No one believes or no one is saved apart from the word of God. Acts 4:4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. So we see that salvation is believing. And included in believing are the two inseparable graces of God, which is repentance and faith that God gives. But salvation is not only believing, but salvation is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said, or John said in John chapter 1, and there in verse 12 and in verse 13, it said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When Jesus was speaking in the book of Matthew, he said there in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and there in verse 40 of that 10th chapter, listen to these words as he said this. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So salvation is believing, and salvation is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's a great, glorious and wonderful mystery how that God ordained, and God purposed and planned that through the foolishness of preaching that men, women, and boys and girls would be saved. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. The preaching of the Word of God. Now what is it that is preached? It's the gospel that's preached. It's how that Christ died for our sin, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. It is then the Holy Spirit that takes the preached Word. It never ceases to be a mystery to me. It's such a glorious thing of how that God takes the preached Word, and He opens the sinner's heart. And He enables them that they might repent of their sins, that they might trust Jesus Christ, that they might receive Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. So we see from the negative what salvation is not. We see what salvation is. But now thirdly, let's think about what follows salvation. There are some things that follow after that a person is saved by the grace of God. First of all, what follows is baptism. If you'll notice, I believe that when Luke was writing, and he said in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and we have a good illustration here, in verse 41 of Acts 2, it says this, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now what we're talking about here, what follows salvation is baptism. We're talking about scriptural baptism. We're talking about baptism of a believer. We're talking about a person that is immersed in water. We're talking about for a proper purpose and by proper authority. And the authority is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of people today that are trusting their so-called salvation, their baptism for salvation. And really, in essence, their baptism is not even baptism. Even what they're trusting is even false. When Jesus commissioned the church, and he said in Matthew 28:18-20, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. So, what follows salvation? Baptism ought to follow salvation. But then, not only should baptism follow salvation, but secondly, church membership ought to follow salvation. Same verse that I read, Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, that's first, and then notice. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added to the church there at Jerusalem. The 47th verse says this, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added the church daily, such as should be saved. And Paul wrote to the Cretan church, I'm very careful, and I think that we ought to be, in not trying to high pressure people to make some kind of a profession of faith. Then I believe that we ought not to try to high pressure them to follow the Lord in baptism. And then I don't believe that we ought to high pressure them to join the Lord's church. We ought not to do that. I believe it's all of the Lord. I believe it's all of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, and too many times a day, people are pressured into making some kind of decision. Don't know anything about the Lord, and they have a false hope. Too many times a day, people are pressured into, even after they make a profession, to be baptized, and then they're pressured into joining the church. Ought not to do that. That is not God's way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us very clearly in verse 18 and verse 28. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. Verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, gifts of government, diversities of tongues. So we see there are some things that follow salvation. One, baptism. Two, church membership. And then thirdly, good works. Now, good works are evidences of salvation. Now, as I said earlier, works is not salvation. They are evidences of salvation. James tells us this, and he gives us the two illustrations that is given to us in the second chapter of the book of James, and verse 14 down to verse 25. It says this in the second chapter of the book of James. What if it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Now notice this. And faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful of the body, what is it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seeing how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? The two justifications here is this. Justified by God and justified before men. And I believe that after we are saved and then we begin to evidence our work, then we're justified before men. Men see our good works, and they glorify God, which is in heaven. So, now think with me. We're talking about salvation. What salvation is not? How many people do you personally know, and that you feel, that are trusting something for salvation other than the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't know certainly, but you suspect that they're trusting perhaps some works they're doing. Perhaps they're trusting their baptism. Perhaps they're trusting being a member of some church. A lot of people like that today. But then, how many people do you know that you are confident and feel that have believed and trusted Jesus Christ and received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And then they have evidenced it by following the Lord in scriptural baptism and then becoming a member of the Lord's true church and then evidencing it by works. That is living for it. Now I ask you this morning, have you received Jesus Christ? That is, have you received repentance and faith? If you have, you know it. I know in whom I have believed. Don't you? And I'm persuaded, aren't you, that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, aren't you? If you're saved, you are. And has the Lord added you to this church? Does your works evidence your salvation? So the question was this: what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I pray that it might please the God, and He might enable you this morning, that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and leave this building this morning saved, redeemed, and child of God. We're going to stand and sing this hymn in closing. This church invites you to come and receive Jesus Christ and present yourself for baptism, for membership in this New Testament church. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you some other way this morning. Maybe you're here and the Lord is dealing with you some special way. Maybe the Lord, you're hearing the Lord's calling you to preach. You'd like to acknowledge that to the church. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.